This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
The judge, he pleaded, clerk, he wrote it. Clerk, he wrote it down in D.D. The judge, he pleaded, the clerk, he wrote it down.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Singing in the background is 20th century blues musician Gus Cannon. I can clearly remember the first time I ever listened to Gus Cannon, because it was about an hour ago. But folk musician Don Flemons, who you may know as one of the founding members of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, first heard Gus Cannon about 10 years ago, and it set off a flurry of research and discovery about what turns out to be a pretty complicated figure in 20th century music. Dom recently wrote about Gus Cannon for the Oxford American Magazine, and he joins us here in the Soundcheck studio. Dom, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here, John. Thanks.
So you first heard Gus Cannon on a recording on the Stax label, the famous Memphis funk and soul label.
Yeah.
What was it?
Well, it was a record called Walk Right In, and I went to the Stax Museum a few years back, and I asked him about it. I said, well, tell me about this record, because it was the very first Stax record to come out, was this Gus Cannon record. So basically, Gus Cannon had a legal dispute with the group The Rooftop Singers, who had a hit song with his song Walk Right In.
Walk right in, sit right down, Daddy, let your mind roll on. Everybody's talking about a new way of walking. Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, sit right down, Daddy, let your mind roll on.
And so after that, he did a recording, and so the parents of the people who ran Stax Records were old-time and bluegrass fans, and so they were trying to do a fledgling label of folk and bluegrass, and then the kids took it over, and it became the Funk and Soul label. So it was kind of a local history of a local hero in Memphis.
And see, here I was thinking, wow, Gus Cannon, someone whose music I've never come across before, and it turns out it's like this really familiar, popular song that he wrote that the Rooftop Singers had a big hit with in the early 60s. Listen to the original version, or at least an original version from Gus Cannon.
I went to the old lady's house one day, and she told me, walk right in. I said, I thank you. She said, well, will you sit down? I said, thank you, ma'am. She says to me, she said, well, how long you gonna be here? I said, I won't be here but a little while. And so that night, somewhere or another, I commenced a dreaming. Got up there about 12 o'clock one night there, 1913, so got old Mo Banjo. I said, you know one thing, Bessie? I said, you told me to walk in here. Now, you know I must get something on that. And this is the way it went.
Now you walk right in, sit right down. Baby, let your mind roll on. Will you walk right in, stay a little while. Now, baby, don't you stay too long. Now, I know it's everybody talking about the way you're walking, baby. You look a loser, yo. That's your mind. I say, you walk right in, sit right down. Baby, let your mind roll on. Mama, baby, let your mind roll on. Play a little while now.
So that's a 1963 recording by Gus Cannon of his own song, Walk Right In, which Dom, as you mentioned in your article in the Oxford American Magazine, which, by the way, listeners, you can find on our website at soundcheck.org. I mean, this is a song he had originally written and recorded decades earlier.
Absolutely.
Well, what was it that first struck you when you heard this, you know, this early Stax record of Gus Cannon? Was it the kind of exaggerated speech of the introduction?
Well, it was a thing. At first I just heard the music without really thinking too hard about it. And I thought it was very entertaining and amusing. But then I was in college at that point, and I got into a class talking, it was called Ethnic Notions, and it talked about blacks and then Indians or Native American, and then also a gender-based, you know, like depictions in literature. So for the black section, I was reading things like Nella Larson's Passing, James Weldon Johnson's An Autobiography of an Ex-Colored Man. We watched the movie Bamboozled. I mean, and we talked a lot about blackface minstrelsy and the depiction and degradation of black people. So, but when I heard the music of Gus Cannon, I heard those, I heard retentions of that older style, but also at the same time, I heard that he's expressing himself very much in a non-degradatory manner for him.
So for you, it was like, okay, maybe there's more to blackface minstrelsy than I've been taught in class.
Well, because all I was ever hearing was, blackface minstrelsy is a bunch of white guys making fun of black guys. But when you bring black participants after several decades of this first round of blackface minstrelsy, it starts becoming a bit more complex when you think of black people making fun of the white guys making fun of black people. It starts becoming very complex.
And it, that complexity, one of the songs that you focus on in your article is a song called Can You Blame the Colored Man, which Gus Cannon recorded back in 1927, but which looks at an even earlier event of black and white coming together.
Well, you know, one thing people don't tend to think about when they're looking back at this stuff is the timeline in which people were performing the songs and also where the material comes from. So when I first started researching the article, I found that, you know, I'd need to find out what this actual event was, because all I could find about it was that Booker T. Washington and Theodore Roosevelt had dinner in the White House, caused a controversy. That was pretty much all I had seen in any previous things. And so this song is an actual parody of another song that was popular in 1901 when the dinner happened. It was a song called Just Because She Made Them Goo Goo Eyes.
You ain't so warm. He is the best what he is, and I need a in a mobile. It's just the case you made them a goo 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 eyes.
And it was popular as a black minstrel song.
It was a black minstrel. It was white guys performing it, but it was popular in both the black and white communities around the turn of the century.
So it was blackface minstrelsy.
It was blackface minstrelsy, but it was accepted by both the black and white community, mm-hmm. because it was such a popular number that this parody version that Gus Cannon does, I mean, there's no telling where he actually got it, if he saw it on stage, locally, someone writing about it, because it's definitely taking the perspective of rural black Southerners that are watching these events unfold, because that was the main controversy, is once the idea of a white man, a black man sitting in the White House having dinner came down south, that's when the controversy really exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on top of the actual political implications around the dinner.
Right. And as you write in your article, controversial both among the white and the black. There were even black people thinking, what is Booker T. Washington doing at the White House with Theodore Roosevelt?
Well, because this is 10 years before people are actually speaking out for civil rights. So this is a time when someone does something that is not with the status quo, the black community has to retract, because they say that they're not part of us. Because, again, people are afraid of the implications. They're afraid of getting lynched. Mm. They're afraid of being ostracized. And it's both the black and white communities had to retract and say, oh, hold on, you know.
There's a lot going into this little song from 1927. Listen to Gus Cannon and a song called Can You Blame the Colored Man?
Now Booker T, he left Tuskegee, to the White House he went one day. He was going to call on the president, and a quiet and a sociable way was in his car. I was feeling fine. When Booker knocked on the president's door, old Booker, he began to grin. Now he almost changed his color. When Roosevelt says, come in, we'll have some dinner in a little while. Now could you blame the colored man for making them blue eyes? And when he sat down the president's table, he began to smile. Lamb, cow, feeling low, chicken, turkey, feel on toe, feeling good, name for me.
That is Gus Cannon, who for a while was known as Banjo Joe for reasons that you can hear. He's a fine banjo player in addition to singing his song, Can You Blame the Colored Man? We're speaking with Dom Flemons, multi-instrumentalist and singer himself, former member of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and his own album coming out in July is called Dom Flemons, American Songster, Prospect Hill. You can catch Dom at the Brooklyn Folk Festival on Friday, April 18th. He's here with us on Soundcheck looking at this complicated figure, sort of on the margins of American music nowadays. But in 1927, he's singing about this controversial 1901 dinner at the White House, Booker T. Washington, Teddy Roosevelt. What do we take away? What is Gus Cannon's take on this 26 years later?
Well, it's the strangest thing about the song is that all of the jokes and the political commentary are all implicit rather than explicit. And see, that was the most important reason for me to research the event itself, because the song itself is like, oh, okay, well, Booker T has these buffoonish qualities that he's being shown as, you know, loving a bunch of chicken and lamb and stuff like that.
But also when Teddy Roosevelt says, come on in, we'll have dinner in a while, you know, all the color drains out of his face.
Yeah, well, see, because he even grins at the door, and then he smiles when he sits down at the table. And so a lot of this old minstrel-influenced music, all of the words are extremely important. Mm. And so even the thing about he was in his car and he was feeling fine, when I researched it, Booker T. Washington traveled by train up from Tuskegee all the way up to Washington, D.C. all the time, and he was in his segregated car, train car.
Right.
So to me, that made sense that he's in his car. He's feeling fine because, thank God, I'm in my own black car and segregated car. And again, that's me pushing the implications around what I was able to find, showing the actual historical facts around the event itself.
Mm-hmm. And once again, Dom's article for Oxford American Magazine about Gus Cannon is on our website, soundcheck.org. And so, Dom, when your record comes out in July, it will include a Gus Cannon song.
Yes, it
so
will.
So you actually, you know, you found something there that spoke to you on perhaps a deeper level, I guess.
Well, I find the songs to be absolutely amazing, the words and the stories that they tell, and also just the attitude that's being presented in a lot of these songs. And for me, I got into this particularly with the Memphis songsters. They have these songs that to me remind me of modern hip-hop in a lot of ways, and also like things like Calypso, where there are social commentary mixed into the lyrics as well as being just very fantastic songs. And so that was something that I enjoyed. Also, banjo-wise, Gus Cannon has a very unique style of banjo. I think only, I guess, like, you know, with Pete Seeger just passing, he's the only person who plays in such a varied style of banjo in that particular way. You know, most people play a certain genre of style.
Right. Now, you have a couple of banjos here in the studio today.
Oh, yeah.
But the one you're going to play for us now is a four-string.
Yeah.
Is this the kind of banjo that Gus Cannon would have played in the 1920s?
No, not at all. He would have played a standard five-string banjo in a slightly different tuning than I do it. But I started playing on the four-string banjo just from a friend of mine gave me a five-string without a fifth string on it. So I just learned off of that, and I've just kept up with that ever since. So for me, it's my own interpretation of how to play this stuff with the style I developed, you know, and I've been very fortunate people have enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. So what song do you want to do?
I'll do one called My Money Never Runs Out, which is actually the next song that Gus Cannon did in that very Paramount session.
Back in 1927.
Yep.
Dom Flemons, live in the Soundcheck studio.
All right.
Joker living round this town, he just as lazy can be. Now as long as they flirt, boys, he hangs around. I love my hops, is he. Early one morning, this joker ran away to roam the world, was said. I believe I'll go back to bed, man, I give up my head. I don't care if I never wake up. Yes, I don't care if I never wake up till the birds is through with me. Now I'm coming around here with my big fold. I'm gonna run 'em up a tree. Nothing like a living like a money king. Drink from a silver cup. I eat pork and pears. I eat out of my class. I don't care if I never wake up. No, please. Money's boys was stacked high. I believe my soul would touch the sky. I polish people in the diamond dust, man. I don't care with this banjo bass. Cause my money don't never run out. You rich fools, you are making me shout. Every good evening, this sweet old toast I shout. Yes, I'm a living a good all the time. Don't drink no beer and no cheap wine. And I always flake, cause my money don't never run out. Toast, I shout. Yes, I'm a living a good all the time. Don't drink no beer and no cheap wine. And I always flate, cause my money don't never run out.
Dom Flemons live here in the Soundcheck studio singing an old Gus Cannon song called My Money Never Runs Out, and playing his four-string banjo here on Soundcheck as well. Would Gus Cannon, do we know, would he have done the Pete Townsend-style windmilling thing on his banjo?
Yeah, he was said to know to have done a tune where he juggled the banjo and he threw it up in the air and spun it around. And that was a whole other part of this stuff. It was real.
Is that where Pete Townsend got the windmill from? Did he know Gus Cannon?
No. He did say he got that from... He said he saw Keith Richards do it one time at a Stone show, and he stole it for entertainment purposes.
Right.
You know.
Now, Gus Cannon, I mean, for all that we've been talking about these songs from 1927, we heard a 1963 recording by the guy.
Yeah.
And he lived a long time.
Yes, he lived until, I believe he lived to about 1976 or 78, and... It was one of those things where these guys were around for years and years. I mean, like, see, when I interviewed Tony Thomas about Gus Cannon, and I talk about him in the article, there were a couple of things. Like, one, these types of songs were what Tony was describing as swagger songs. So they were songs that talked about, even though the people were poor and didn't have certain things, it was songs about talking about having those things or pushing the limits.
I got to tell you, Dom, while you were singing that, I was flashing ahead to, like, you know, modern hip-hop.
And, that's right.
You know, the kind of the braggadocio mm-hmm. that we hear in a lot of that, a lot of songs.
Absolutely.
Today, echoes of it, in, you know, almost 100 years ago.
Well, there's a lot of implications, because this is before a time when people in the black community could just outwardly speak out. Because now things are open in a way that people can say a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff gets out there. But this
was
at a time.
And a black man having dinner at the White House.
Exactly.
We're not surprised at that.
Exactly.
Well, he's an amazing story, Gus Cannon, and it is a story told at some length by Dom Flemons in this article for Oxford American Magazine, which you should definitely check out on our website, soundcheck.org. Dom's own album called Dom Flemons, American Songster, Prospect Hill, comes out in July and will include the song that he just played for us. You can catch Dom at the Brooklyn Folk Festival on Friday, April 18th. Dom, this has been a real ear opener. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me. It's just a great pleasure.
The first time I was down in Memphis, I was down on Madison Street. I met an old friend of mine. He said, was that boy? Got that,
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.
She said, well, I'll whistle. I said, well, whistle then. Here he goes.